I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of
welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, here we are. The holiday seasons are upon us. So how do we manage others' expectations or even our own expectations? And then you think about in one family, you've got introverts and introverts and extroverts, you know, and then you got parties galore. Is it a different pace, okay, for the introvert? And maybe you've got political differences right within your family or even a different perspective on COVID. Wow, there's a hot topic. And what do we do with all the fear, anxiety, and the angst we've been feeling all year long? Do we just stuff it, numb out, try not to feel it? What do we do with all of that? We're talking about mental health and the holidays. And I want so much for you to engage in the conversation. So let me ask you a couple questions. One is, how do you keep kind of the pace for you? How have you determined to maybe manage expectations? Or maybe you've got questions for our counselor guest today. You can text in 877-933-2484. Counselor and leadership coach Nicole Eunice joins us once again on the show. We're going to talk about how to navigate the holidays in a way that doesn't leave us feeling more stressed than blessed. We'll also draw from her amazing book, The Miracle Moment, how tough conversations can actually transform your most important relationships. We've got a few copies to give away. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. Otherwise, I just really want you to all in, fully engage. What are the things that maybe stress you out this holiday season when it comes to relationships? What are you excited about? What are you kind of dreading or worried about? What kind of questions do you have for our counselor, leadership coach? Or maybe you have found a good way to keep a pace that allows you to really enjoy the holiday season. It's time for you to engage. Text me 877-933-2484. And we got a quick announcement before we hear from Nicole. 2 days away from the great giveaway. We've been doing this for as long as I've been in radio. I actually started doing it when I was a guest host like 16 years ago. But what is the great giveaway, you ask? Well, I'm so glad you asked, because I'm going to tell you. We're praying and hoping to mobilize 1,000 people to engage in random acts of kindness. And on Friday, 2 days away, my colleagues, Carmen and Bill, will join me on my show 2 days from now. Even my hubby might make a cameo appearance. And we're going to take your calls. So I'm just asking you to call and tell us a time that you responded to the nudge of the Spirit and you stepped out and you did something. And I know some of you are going to go, I don't really want to tell someone about a good thing I did. So you can call anonymously if you like. But also, you can tell me about a time that someone was kind to you. We've got some super fun prizes, but we're really just hoping to inspire you with just a full wave of generosity, just because one testimony begets another. So that's Friday. So mark your calendars 2 days from now during this hour. I can't wait to hear from you. And if you want to join us, it just helps us to know you're with us. You can go on our website, myfaithradio.com. It's right on the homepage. Just click on that button and say, hey, I am in. Count me in. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Nicole Eunice is a counselor and a leadership coach. Through her book, Speaking and Consulting, Nicole invites leaders and organizations to grow in courageous vulnerability in order to maximize both joy and success at home and work. She holds degrees from College of William and Mary and from Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary. She and her husband, Dave, live in Virginia with their 3 children and their 2 pups. And we always love it when she joins us. Nicole, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me, Susie. I really feel like I'm starting to be family. I'm like, well, guys, I'm so glad to be with you.
You are not starting to be family. You are family. We love it when you get to come and join us. You are so helpful to our listeners. So you know this because you've been on enough times. We love to start just asking this question. What is the Lord talking to you about these days?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one of the things I love about getting to be in ministry is that sometimes even when I might not naturally get into the Spirit, whatever that means, whether that's worshiping or the season, the Lord calls me to tasks that get me there. And so I've been speaking quite a bit in the last couple of weeks, and the Lord really has laid on my heart this beautiful identity statement that I think ushers in the Christmas season, which is when the angel proclaims to Mary, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And how really the essence of our deep need for belonging and for love is actually captured in that statement, almost a precursor to the gospel. And I just can't stop thinking about the idea of what if, you know, each day that goes by, I spend a few minutes just looking at the Christmas tree and thinking and reflecting on the fact that we are highly favored and that the Lord is with us. And what if I just believed it a little bit more? And God is just opening my eyes to believing more and more that no matter how difficult circumstances may be, His love never fails. And no matter how hard a situation or relationship might be, I am never alone. And that God's so given us that gift in His Son. And man, just a profound, simple truth that's sort of buoying up this whole season for me and hopefully for many others as well.
That's so good. Many, many years ago, I heard a sermon on the favor of the Lord surrounds you like a shield. And the pastor that was speaking said it's a couple of things, that it's God's endorsement and that it's giving you the supernatural unfair advantage. And I just think if you're highly favored to be walking in almost a wholly unfair advantage, I mean, and that you have God's endorsement, it just, wow, it's quite a thought. The Lord is with you. I love that question. Okay, let's talk navigating the holidays. In fact, I'm just going to tackle this one that just came right in. And friends, please engage today, because everybody has expectations and struggles. Like, we get so excited about the holidays and then we get so stressed about them. So I'm welcoming your comments, your questions, what you've learned, what you wonder about. Here's the number, 877-933-2484. And this dear listener says, here's my question. I struggle with depression, especially during Christmas. My daughter's about 3,000 miles from me. She's not interested in me being a part of her life and her children's and her husband's, which is just gut-wrenching. She says, I see no reason to live. Oh, honey, I realize God has a plan for every day He has me here. I struggle with how to do that. I feel like I've heard all the answers to that before. I don't know if you have anything new. What do you say, Nicole?
Well, you know, Susie, you and I have talked before, and I think it's important, I hate to say to normalize, but maybe to just shine some light on the fact that many, many of us struggle with very difficult family relationships. And there can be a sense in the church, I'm not sure how exactly we pick this up, but there can be a sense that if I'm a good enough Christian, everyone around me should be loving and kind and receive me, and I should receive them. And, you know, that's what it's going to be. And
if I can interject also, Nicole, if I could just interject, I don't know where we got this, but this this caricature of really a healthy, normal Christian family. You're sitting around having fellowship, singing worship songs, you know, and everybody
doing devotions,
like, you know? Doing devotions, and everybody's very mature and earnest and active, and they're all crushing it in the kingdom work that they're doing. We put that in our minds, and we're already, even if you don't battle depression, you're going to feel depressed. So continue on, because I'm going to pray for her, but keep going.
Yeah, and obviously this is a rabbit trail, but we also come to that because social media create sometimes these mirages of what is happening in people's lives. And you and I both know that that is not the case. And we struggle and others struggle. And if we can at least for this dear reader, this dear listener to know, you're not alone in struggling in a relationship. And it does not mean that you are condemned or that God is against you. That is not what that means. And I, Susie, the first thing that came to mind is I do believe that God, you know, it says in scripture in the book of Acts, that God has chosen the very times and places in which we are to live. So the fact that your daughter is 3,000 miles away is not an accident. It's not like it means that your life doesn't matter because you're not close to her, because there are needs right around you. And you may feel so low that it's hard to imagine helping someone else, but there's an amazing antidote to our own discouragement is the ability to lend a hand to someone else. And if there's one thing that's always around us, if we have eyes to see it, it's need. And sometimes the ability to say, I'm a person who can brighten someone else's day, actually helps shift us out of that mindset where we're feeling so alone or isolated. And God begins to lift us through the way that we refresh others. Proverbs says, "We will be you will be refreshed as you refresh others." And so if there's even a little bit of energy that our listener has to serve in some way, a card at the hospital or a set of treats for some nurses, or, you know, just all around you, there are people. It's amazing what God does when we turn our eyes to the way that we might serve.
That's so good, Nicole. And there's that in Isaiah, wait, forgive me for not remembering which chapter, but it talks about when you're tending to others and you're loosening the bonds that hold them captive, your healing will spring speedily forth. And I got to tell you, I've heard from so many parents with adult children in this situation where they did exactly what you're saying, going, okay, if my own child doesn't want to be with me, there are others who would cut their arm off to have my influence. Yes. I'm going to mentor young people that are at the ages of my kids and pour into them as if they were my own. I'm going to entrust my kids to the Lord. I'm going to enjoy my life. And I'm not going to postpone happiness. And I know it's heartbreaking, but there's something super powerful about going, this is me stewarding my pain. I'm going to sow into other kids who actually want something from me. And
that's a subversive act of trust. It's basically saying, I trust God enough that I'm going to go try to live a full life right here where I am with this pain. And not to say that you don't trust God if you're not doing that, but it's a way to see it differently. Like, oh, releasing this and releasing my child to the Lord and looking around my own community and my close circle to the way that I can serve with the gifts God's given me, that's an act of trust. And I think that God rewards that and gives us a full life. And trusting our adult children to the Lord and asking Him to put righteous people around them is really an act of trust to as a parent.
So good. We have to pause for a break, but as we go out to break, I want to pray. Father, I just pray for this dear sister, and I pray the blood of Jesus over her from the top of her head to the tips of her toes and over her mind. And we just condemn every scheme of the enemy that's lying to her and telling her she has no reason to live. I just cancel that lie. I put the cross of Jesus Christ between that lie and this woman. She's got lots of reasons to live. And I pray right in her own community that you would show her people who would love her influence and love her presence. Lord. And I pray in the meantime, we're mightily in her daughter who is 3,000 miles away. There is a reason for everything under the sun, and you determine the times and the seasons. So I pray you'd move in this season in this dear woman's heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, take your questions on how to navigate the holidays, mental health, and the holidays. How do you manage expectations? How do you manage and pace yourself, especially if you're an introvert and you have an extrovert for a spouse? We'll be back with Nicole Eunice in just a moment. Pray you're having a great day. Susie Larson here on Susie Larson Live, talking to our counselor, leadership coach that we like to have on a somewhat regular basis. Love to get her on even more. Nicole Eunice always has such incredible grounded biblical wisdom and insight. We're talking about mental health and the holidays. How do you navigate and manage expectations, difficult family relationships? I'm asking you to engage today. Would you text in? Maybe one, tell me how you manage. Maybe you found some things, tools that kind of work for you. Or if you've got a question or a trial or a struggle, we would so love to hear from you as well. We'll just kind of consider all of these questions anonymous. So don't worry, I won't say your name. You can text 877-933-2484. So let's talk introvert, extrovert, especially when you've got a couple who ones cannot wait for all the parties, but the introvert's bracing for impact going, I'm going to die. I'm not going to make it. So
I'm
going to
die.
What do you say in situations like that?
Oh my gosh, what a great question. You know, I think when it comes to that whole scale of extroversion, introversion, there's a few other personality temperaments also that kind of the way we view life is so different. And particularly the extroversion, introversion concept is where we get our energy from. And a lot of introverts are like, don't, you know, it's not that I don't like people, you know, and introverts can be some of the greatest relators and friends and spouses and family members, but it's where your energy is drawn from. And so, and let's say an extrovert and an introvert go to a party. An extrovert goes to the party tired, And as they get to the party, their tiredness goes away. Somehow they lose touch with the fact that their body was tired and they were tired, and their energy goes up. An introvert goes to a party tired. They only get more tired. Like they're not going to turn because of the energy in the room, so to speak. So one of the things I love to just help counsel folks about is that setting expectations is everything. And the ability to love and honor our spouse or a friend or family member by a conversation before we get to the experience or before we set our whole schedule for the next week is to ask that question. What would give you life? How much downtime do you need? Well, what would bring me life? How much uptime? I'm the extrovert in my couple relationship. How much uptime do I need? You know, and how do we kind of come to the middle on those things? Sometimes my husband and I, depending on the scenario, if I've got that deep need for like connection and I want to be with people, I might choose to have a girls' night on a night where he chooses to stay home. And that helps us balance the energy because we really truly are on the deep far end of the spectrum, both of us. So this has been an area that we've grown, but particularly in the holidays, the ability to talk about your expectations before you get into family members in your house or four office parties or whatever it is that you're about to go into, and asking the question, how can I best honor you? So saying to my husband, how can I best honor you? Is it that when you give me eyes that it's time to leave, that we actually do leave? Like we try to wrap up within 20 minutes of either one of us saying it's time to go. Is it being on time and leaving on time? Is it not making plans that I didn't tell you about and then springing them on you? Working through, what does it look like for me to honor you? And then conversely, what does it look like for you to honor me so that we can kind of have a game plan and be on the same page before we actually get into the holidays?
Boy, that's so good, because I would think the unhealthy extreme would be an all or none. I'm an introvert, so go ahead and do your thing. I mean, I've heard of brokenhearted spouses whose spouses feels like, you know, since I'm an introvert, I'm sort of absolved from having to do anything for you. I'm a total introvert, so I can see that, you know, I'm just going to stay home because that's my jam, you know, but boy, to be able to honor each other and really both parties having that conversation, hugely important. Okay, here's a tough one that a dear listener texted in. I just want to wrap my arms around her. She says, hey, how do I negotiate this holiday? Listen to this. When my son's wife had an emotional affair and a bit more with my daughter's husband, I am trying to be neutral, and it's extremely difficult because there's nothing easy about this. She's blaming my son for not giving her enough attention, whereas her son-in-law is amazed that her daughter is still with him. So one of the couples in that affair, the son-in-law is amazed that the daughter is still there. So does that make sense to you? Do you got the picture?
Yeah, I almost needed a diagram, but I think I'm with you. And I'm like, oh,
yeah,
my goodness.
Okay, so her son's wife had an emotional affair.
Right.
And a little bit more with her daughter's
husband.
Yeah. Wow. So how, you know, talking about forgiveness, talking about, I mean, how do you, she can't fake it. I mean, how do you do that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, first of all, we can even zoom out because this becomes a pertinent question for all of us when we are navigating adult children. And the real question, particularly if you have a spouse, but it's a question that you need to answer for yourself too, is, what are my boundaries? Like, what is it that is okay and not okay with me? Or what is it that's okay and not okay with me and my spouse? So for instance, if I'm having my family over and I was in like a highly conflictual situation with family members, I might say, hey, when you guys come to my home, I want us to be able to have conversation that's loving and kind, and that we're not going to talk about the situation that we're, you know, dealing with elsewhere. And that's my boundary, because it's my home and this is our boundary as your parents. If you would like to opt out, that's up to you. A lot of times as parents, we don't have boundaries with our kids. We just think whatever they need to say and whatever they need to do is fine with us because that's how we love them. Well, actually how you love them is to model boundaries and agency. Agency is the ability to say, I have the opportunity to make choices and you have the opportunity to make choices. Adult relationships are based on agency. So even if you're not in this particularly difficult situation, which is particularly difficult. And if we could talk with this listener, I kind of want to know where they would be in the process. Are people seeking counseling? Has there been a separation? How does our listener know this information? Is she hearing it hearsay through different parties? Because all that matters, right? In where they are in the process. But when it pertains to difficulties and the holidays, what I really want our listeners to think about is what are appropriate boundaries for me to say, you know what, adult child who's in a conflictual relationship with someone who's not good to you, we love to invite you to the holiday. We're inviting you over for Christmas, but we would prefer that your, you know, boyfriend not come. If you don't want to come, that's fine with us. We have agency. You have agency. If we want to meet in a neutral place, we can do that. A lot of people just need to know it's okay to ask yourself, what brings us peace? Where are we being loving and kind, but also it brings us peace and unity in our marriage, or
so
peace and
let
unity
me go back,
in myself? Yeah.
Let me go back to this situation though. So this is a mm-hmm. mom,
yep.
and her son's wife has this emotional affair, and it's a little bit more mm-hmm. than that. But now she's blaming her son. It's your fault mm-hmm. that I had this affair. You didn't give me mm-hmm. enough attention.
Your daughter, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm trying to imagine being that mom going, mm-hmm. oh my word. mm-hmm. I mean, how should she navigate that? Because as you're saying, leave the conflict outside the holidays.
Right.
She's got a lot of emotion
yeah.
around.
Well, I would want to know, you know, what is your relationship like with your son? Are they seeking counseling? Have you asked your son, what is the next right step for you to take? Sometimes when our adult children get into heartache, we can begin to parent them like children again. And as difficult as this is, it is very important that our listener stays in her own self and doesn't re-enmesh with son, because the son has got to figure out for himself the right, and her daughter also needs to figure out, what are the right next steps for me? What counsel are you seeking? What boundaries are you setting? Who is wise in your life that can help you? Are you seeking my counsel? That's a great question for our adult children. How would you like me to engage with you right now? Are you looking for support? Are you looking for a listening ear? Are you looking for my counsel? Because once our adult children say, well, actually, mom, I'm looking for your counsel. Well, then have at it. Mm-hmm. I mean, when mm-hmm. our adult child invites us in to a position where we are able to give that advice or counsel or whatever. And if that is the case for our listener, I would say, mom, you're not going to be able to engage with this with the appropriate amount of emotional detachment to actually help bring progress. Like, this is something that they need to deal with a professional. Like we're talking about infidelity and breaking your vows, and that needs to be brought to, they both need to want to get help. And when we're the parent, we're usually not the person who can give that
Good.
Kind of help.
Good point. I've got to pause here for a hard break. When we come back, how do you decide if it's okay to just not go? Like, if you're dreading your Christmas season, I've got a listener here who says, got a passive-aggressive father-in-law, super opinionated. I just want to stay home. And what am I supposed to do? I don't even enjoy going. So we're going to tackle her question. I see a few more coming in as well. Talking mental health, difficult relationships around the holiday season with our counselor friend, Nicole Eunice. We'll be back in a minute. Hope you're having a really great day. Susie Larson here, talking to our friend Nicole Eunice. She's a counselor and a leadership coach. We like to get her on every once in a while just to navigate difficult relationships. Today specifically, we're talking about mental health and the holidays. How do you navigate some of those difficult relationships? Like, what are you dreading? What are you excited about? Maybe you've learned how to set a pace. Maybe you're an introvert or an extrovert, or you've got family members where you are one side of the political aisle, they are on the other, or even COVID. Oh my goodness, there's so many different different opinions on that. And it's become a dividing line in families. And if we have time, we're going to get to that. But I want your engagement. I really want you to text in. I already see a number of questions that are coming in. I so appreciate that. Engage with me. Text me your questions, what you've learned, what you wonder about. Here is the number, 877-933-2484. And just a quick note, we've got a few copies of Nicole's book, The Miracle Moment, How Tough Conversations Can Actually Transform Your Most Important Relationships. And I'm telling you, she writes like she speaks. This is like a handbook on how to handle difficult relationships. You need to send text the word book in a separate text, just the word book, to 877-933-2484. And that's how you'll enter the drawing. All right, here's one from this dear listener. Looking for fresh insight. I do not enjoy Christmas except for moments with my husband and our three kids. I dread extended family gatherings as we all tiptoe around my opinionated father-in-law. Lots of passive-aggressive behavior and biting our tongues. I'd rather just stay home. When is it okay to stay home? I mean, I know there's scripture talks about making allowances for each other's faults, but when is it okay to go, this is misery for all of us? And what do you say to this listener?
Well, I love a little more color on, first of all, I mean, what a joy that you love your husband and you love your children. So in the midst of a time and a season where it might be like, you know, some people just are struggling all around, you've got this bright light of your immediate family. And this is your immediate family. And then you're talking about your extended family. And so I think a conversation with your husband where the two of you sit down and say, okay, what's going to bring us joy in this season? And what are we creating as far as traditions and space for our family? And our family is you and me and these children. And then out of our love, what else can we do and what will we go to that we will also balance out our time with extended family? Oftentimes, one of the things that can be so difficult at holidays is there's a lot of built-in expectations that come about what that week, let's say, needs to look like. And so you may have a family who is spending 6 days out of 6 days together. And you're a young mom who really wants to enjoy time with your husband who's off from work, or you're off from work and you guys have a couple of days together. And so sometimes because of sort of unspoken expectations that we have to spend all day, every day together, we lose some of the brightness and the opportunity to really shape our own new immediate family, which is you and your husband and those children. So even an opportunity to sit back and say, of these things that we need to do, are there any that we could opt out of and replace with some things that are our own family tradition? And then we're going to be united on that. And if people are frustrated or upset with us, we can say, Mom, Dad, we are really looking forward to spending Christmas Eve dinner with you. But Christmas morning with our immediate family is a tradition that we want to start. If you are firm and loving, but you're not unkind, and you're united as a couple around that, then you guys can weather disappointment together. By the way, if your immediate family comes down on you, backlashes you, whatever, they're not healthy people. That's okay. You can still maintain, this is what we're going to do for our family. And you guys are so important to us. Can we make the other 2 days, 3 days that we're spending with you really special? Most people will get over their disappointment. And that may give you what you need to have peace and joy in this season, so that on the days that you are spending with your father-in-law, you can show up sort of more fully present, more fully alive, knowing that this is a choice that we're making out of love, but we're going to manage it the best that we can in the midst of the season.
I love that. That's so good, because I think you find yourself bracing for impact when you feel like you have no say and no control.
Yes.
But if she can have some space and time with the with her family and the doing the things that fill her soul, she can almost look at this as a mission, going, I'm showing up full, my heart is full, this is limited time and space, and I'm going to love him, but I'm not going to give him power. And yeah, that's so different. Very, very good. Appreciate that so much. Okay, this listener says, how do you best explain to non-believers and their children that Christmas is about Jesus and not Santa Claus? What do you say?
Well, I would say to this listener, are these people asking you, or are you just are you wanting to,
or maybe you shouldn't share?
Are you just wanting to like put
you
that on
the make book? The neighbors cry?
Well, and sometimes we do, like, depending on our temperament, to go back to personality, Susie, you know, some of us have a personality, we have a very strong justice meter, we have a very strong sense of what's right and wrong, and we have a very strong sort of truth orientation, and we sometimes will trip over ourselves ourselves in our pursuit of truth, and we'll leave love in the dust. And we need to be able to hold in both hands, both grace and truth. And so for this listener, the first thing I would say is, you know, in scripture, it says, and I, again, like you, Susie, I can't remember the exact reference, but it says, always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have. And it doesn't say always be prepared to debate what's true. It says, be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have, which of course means, are you living your life in such a hopeful, joyful way that people notice? And when people notice, then we're able to say, this is why I have the hope that I have. You know, this is where this comes from. And we can ask ourselves, how am I living into that in this season? Now, if there's people asking, first of all, if it's someone else's children, it would be inappropriate to make that your mission, to make them think it's more about Jesus than Santa Claus, because if it's someone else's children, but hopefully maybe it's a mom in the neighborhood or whatever, and maybe you share some of your own traditions. Sometimes the thing about Santa Claus or Elf on the Shelf or any of these things is they're well packaged and they're commercialized, so they feel fun, and we've almost lost so many of the traditions around Jesus's birth, that even being a person who says, I'm a person, you know, I make a birthday cake for Jesus, or we hide baby Jesus from the nativity and he goes in the nativity on Christmas Day, or we do an Advent candle and an Advent wreath. Like, those are beautiful traditions that also usher in the season and are interesting to kids, that maybe can be kind of added in a way that gives that deeper hope for the season.
Boy, that's so good. All right. How do you deal with, like, maybe somebody's battling some fear and anxiety over seeing family members who've been estranged or the relationship has been strained from a past interaction? Maybe it wasn't ever resolved, so it sort of left kind of tense. And now the family, you know, gatherings are happening and bringing them back together. And someone who maybe bends towards fear and anxiety, how can they best navigate that?
Yeah, great question, Susie. And I think so many of us struggle with this. We have these, you know, elephants in the room or looming tension and unresolved conflict. And the conflict can become so big that it almost like dehumanizes the person. Like we're more engaged in the conflict than we are in the human being. And I think one of the things that we can do when we have, you know, oftentimes it's well-placed fear because we've had a painful experience. We've had an experience with someone that makes them unsafe, or, and it hasn't been resolved, or they've never asked for forgiveness or whatever. We can start by saying, okay, let me be real honest with myself about what my expectations are for this season. A lot of times when there's something unresolved, we're kind of waiting around for the other person to resolve it, or waiting around thinking maybe this will be the year that things get better. And maybe radical acceptance of a person and who they really are is the ability to say, I can release any expectation I have that this Christmas will be different. And if I can release that narrative, then I can ask the question, what's the best way that I can love this person this season? Does love look like playing cards, like saying, hey, do you want to play some cards? Or do you want to do dominoes? You know, actually allowing the relationship to exist on a more superficial level and not trying to deal with conflict. Or love might look like, what strategies do I need to have? How can I almost role play out? How does this person usually show up? Sometimes one of the things that often happens in families is we get subtle or not so subtle criticism of ourself, of your appearance, of your choices in life, whatever. Role play out, like, what would be a good way to respond to that? How might I respond in a way that I still feel like I'm emotionally healthy and honest, but not like just flipping over into anxiety or into whatever? Some of that working out the strategy in advance can help you be more at peace when you're in the moment.
Boy, I really like that so much, because you think of the two extremes where you're avoiding the person that you're kind of have been estranged from, or you're going for it in the holidays, you know, if I haven't seen you, so let's pick up where we left off. But, you know, to kind of leave those two extremes in the dust and say, hey, you want to play a game of cards is kind of extending an olive branch. Now, of course, the scenario would present itself differently if you're talking about any kind of abuse or, you know,
of course.
That's so painful. Like, let's say you have a family member that you've, you know, you said when you were a child, this happened, and that other family members are dissing it and just still bringing them into the family situation. That's a totally different situation. But wow, I really, really appreciate that so much. You know, I learned several years ago that it's actually super healing for your brain to anticipate an event, that it's like it gets the synapses firing because anticipation of good is actually very good for you, even if the event in itself isn't as exciting as your anticipation of it. Like you're getting super excited about prepping for Thanksgiving or Christmas or Easter or whatever. And what so often happens is people will go through that enough times to go, you know what? I'm going to get my expectations, lower them significantly because it's not worth it. It never turns out the way I hope. Mm-hmm. Now, there's one thing to be said about unrealistic expectations that are dashed all the time. That's one conversation, and we can have that after the break. But I want you to strike a balance, if you would, because the idea that even if the event doesn't turn out the way you'd actually hoped, it wasn't wasted time or space to anticipate goodness because it's actually super good for you. So strike a balance of maybe healthy expectations, but not just kind of dashing your expectations to the curb because you don't want to be disappointed.
Well, I mean, what a great tension that you just named, Susie. And I do think I have maybe a way to reframe. A lot of times when we have expectation, we can almost envision how people around us would act or be. And what I'd love to invite us all to do is I want to ask you, how will you act and be? Like, what if your actual expectation was, I'm going to be a person who is able to seize like the beautiful and wonderful things around today? It's kind of asking the question, hey, what's going to make today a good day? What am I going to do to make today a good day? Instead of kind of waiting for the people around me to be who I need them to be. And if you can flip that switch in your mind going into the holidays and saying, okay, this relationship is difficult, contentious, or unenjoyable. How do I want to be? How am I going to show up? What's going to make today a good day? And how do I maybe think that way? Because it kind of gives that, again, that power back to you to say, I have the Spirit of God with me. I have the resurrection power with me. God promises to give me peace that passes understanding. God promises me joy. So how do I kind of say, what's going to make today a good day and what God's going to do in me, no matter what kind of how the day unfolds exactly? And you might find joy return to you in that process.
Boy, that again is turning the enemy on his heel, because it's like when we consider ourselves as loved, always loved, no matter how people respond to us, and we consider ourselves on mission, it's we don't show up kind of playing not to lose, or I'm postponing joy and happiness. It's really contingent on how people treat me, what people say to me, what happens for me. And isn't that just how we so constantly show up in life? Yeah. But if we can just turn that around to go, I'm always loved, God's always good, and I'm always on mission, and he will take care of me. I mean, what a different perspective, you know?
And it's amazing because, you know, this happens too. It's like, you might not be aware that you're bringing down the room a little bit. Like, and when you come in, if you come in and you're like, I'm here to bring joy, some of those difficult people in your life, they just might surprise you. They might not be as contentious or as frustrating or as negative, because maybe you're the way that you come in. And it's not because you're doing it on that for that reason, but if you're enjoying yourself more, if you're more able to stay in yourself and in your peace, you might actually impact those people around you that you so desperately want to have good relationships with.
Yeah, it seems like we drain, you know, parties and gatherings and relationships when our constant approach is what I want from you versus what I want for you. You know,
that's right.
I need this from you to be okay. And I, you know, we all get a sense if people like us or not. And if we're getting a sense that someone else is bracing for impact, we're going to brace for impact. And I think as believers filled with the Spirit of God, if we can show up to some of these gatherings full of the joy of the Lord to go, you know, I lack no good thing, and I can do this party for 6 hours because I lack no good thing. I'm coming in loved. I'm going to leave loved. And so somehow, some way, I'm going to love some of the most unlovable people. And, you know, I marvel that Jesus was able to do that. And yet he had a backbone. And I think we're not supposed to be, people can't drive all over us. When we come back, let's talk about this hot topic. Are you ready? We're going to talk about the great divides, you know, politically, economically, spiritually, even COVID. And what happens at a holiday gathering if someone either purposely or unintentionally triggers you with comments? Either they're baiting you, or they bait you, and even if they didn't mean to. Are the holidays the time and place to settle that stuff? Or do you just sort of take your hands up going, I'm not engaging? What do you do? talking to Nicole Eunice, and we welcome your questions. We've got a few minutes left of the show. Such good conversation. We'll be back in a minute. I don't have to search hard to find you. I don't have to reach far to touch you. Standing in miracles wherever I go. It's really true. We're standing in miracles everywhere we go because God's always working, always up to something new. And as we navigate the holidays, today we're talking about mental health on the holidays, navigating difficult relationships, even unrealistic expectations. How do we show up in these holiday seasons? And it's so easy to look at maybe a difficult family member and say, you know, they never change. But the thing is, if you're walking with God, you've changed, hopefully, and God's done something new in you so you can show up in a different way. We love to get our friend Nicole Eunice on the show. She's a counselor and leadership coach. And boy, this has been such powerful conversation, Nicole. I just appreciate it so much. Let's talk about this one, and it's a tough one, but we're going to talk mm-hmm. about kind of some of the great divides in families mm-hmm. that are more pronounced, I think, than they've ever been mm-hmm. Politically, economically, spiritually, and even around a virus, around COVID. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the reasons there's so much divide around it, because I've never seen a health issue so politicized as COVID has been. So mm-hmm. if someone at a family party, a family gathering, either purposely or unintentionally says something that triggers you, what should you do? Are the holidays the time and place to settle those things? Should you just mm-hmm. bring your hands back and go, not today and not tomorrow mm-hmm. either? Well, what do you do?
Great question. I mean, I think the first thing is a little bit of self-awareness around what am I triggered about? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, these issues, particularly, you know, that we're talking about, they are political or they're cultural, but they're also personal. So whenever we're triggered, it means that something that is cultural or political has become personal. So if I'm in a room, for instance, and COVID comes up and someone says, you know, something like COVID's not real, and actually my coworker or loved one died of COVID, then actually I'm going to get triggered because something that someone is saying that's out there is actually very personal to me. You know what I mean? So, mm-hmm. but when that happens, people aren't necessarily aware of that. So particularly like at a dinner table or in a group, if someone is just going to be a person who likes to stir the pot or is going to throw out like polarizing statements, I don't think that's the place to engage around the table necessarily. However, if you have a person in your life who thinks really differently than you, what if this season, when you guys are in the living room and you sit down next to this person, what if you say, I'm really curious, I'd love to hear more about what you believe. And you're actually proactively engaging in a conversation that is civil and is one-on-one. It's before you're triggered. you just want to know. I'd love to know more about that. Now, some of the things out there right now, it will feel like, gosh, this gap is so broad. I don't know that I can even find anything to respond to. I don't think anything that this person's saying I agree with, but you can say, you know, does this remind you? I'm thinking of someone maybe perhaps older in your family. Does this remind you of something from the past? Like, do you have fear? What do you fear about? You know, not everyone will engage, but a lot of times, because when we get triggered, we go into this emotional flood. So all of a sudden whatever happens in our body, we're reacting. It doesn't matter to our bodies. It's the same thing as if we just got hit by a car. Our body is just responding. We only have like an ability to respond or not respond. But when we can take a deep breath and realize, okay, I'm not in a dangerous situation. This is just a person with a different opinion than me. I can talk to my body and kind of take a deep breath and get out of that anxious, agitated state. We might be able to enter in and actually say, I'm curious, I'd love to hear more about what you believe. I'd love to hear what's important to you. What do you think are the most important things that are facing our country right now? Like being a curious person outside of someone who's just throwing polarizing statements into a group could be a way for you to say, like, I don't need to shrink back in fear, but I can also take a little bit of control of the situation. I don't just have to wait until I'm triggered.
Oh, it's so good. And you said earlier in the show, people who have kind of this kind of a truth meter, you know, but it's void of grace. And, you know, then we're also in a day of your truth and my truth. So if somebody's living in an echo chamber and they're hearing words that are just kind of talking points and that you cannot change their mind, they just want to pummel you with what they're thinking is true. Mm-hmm. When you're trying to be curious and they want to debate or convince you, suddenly you've got a situation where you're thinking, okay, we're not getting anywhere, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe a person might discern that ahead of time before they ask curious questions. Or what do you think? Is it worth trying?
I think you can ask curious questions, and if you don't get anywhere with them, but you maintain a position of humility and understanding, you can say, I believe different things about that topic, and I don't know if you want to hear those, but thank you for letting me know how you feel.
That is fantastic. You know, you said this last time and maybe even the time before, because I keep asking you to bring it up because I think it's so good. And so forgive me if my paraphrase fails me if it's incorrect. But you said in order to have healthy relationships, these three must be present: empathy, honesty, and repentance. Did I remember that right?
That's right. Yes, Susie. Okay. Gosh, thank
Come
you.
Come on, somebody. All right. Let's talk about that, because those, you know, I think there's times when people are banging their head against the wall going, I'm trying everything I know to do. But if they're honest, they've not been recipient in any way of empathy, of honesty, or repentance. Yeah. There's not a sense that other person has any intention of sort of opening up those more vulnerable spaces in their life.
That's when I say, would you like to play cards? I
mean, okay, very good.
My point is, the whole point, right, Susie, of bringing up empathy, honesty, and repentance was in order to have a close, intimate, trusting relationship where true conflict can be resolved, where true transformation can happen, there has to be a degree of all of those things present. And you can invite someone to those things, but you can't make them do those things. And if you know you have a loved one who is absent in one or all three of those, part of what we have to do is release our expectations that we're going to change that person. So then I have to ask the question, how can I best love a person that is not going to be, who is not interested in growing and changing? Like, so I may need to play dominoes, because I'm literally going to keep hitting my head against the wall if I'm trying to change them when those things are not present. A person who's not honest with themselves, there is only so much you can do. You can model it, but you can't give away the part of you that's going to get hurt, because they're not a person who's safe for the most precious parts of you.
Wow, so good. What do you say to the person who gets overly excited around the holidays, but then they feel kind of blue and hopeless when it's all over?
I say, oh, welcome to humanity.
Yeah.
You know, I think all of us are full of seasons of up and down, and we can be in it. And maybe, you know, I love that the whole idea of Christmas tide, like Christmas actually season extends to January 6th. There's this quietness after Jesus's birth. There's a liturgy to that. And how do we actually maybe prepare ourselves to say, okay, after all the hubbub and after all the celebration, we return to a winter season. And winter seasons are times where we may retreat a bit, where it might be quiet, but we're not alone. And Jesus is with us. And sometimes that solitude unearths grief or loss or sadness. And many of us don't have really a space for that in our life. But the human condition of lament and grief and sadness is a big part of Scripture. So it's part of our experience in life, and we don't have to fear it. We don't have to embrace it, but we can accept it. We can say, I don't like this time, or I don't like this feeling, but I can accept it. And I can say, Lord, what do you want to teach me in this season? You know, the deepest people, the most compassionate people, the most gentle people are people who they themselves have suffered. And so our suffering leads us to depth and wisdom and love and grace that someone in your future may need from you. So how do you embrace those seasons and allow God to grow you through those times is really the question I would have.
You know, Nicole, I'd love to get you back in January and maybe toward mid to end January when it kind of sunk in. And let's talk about the winter season of the soul, because, you know, you're so right. Those things surface for all of us, and yet something beautiful and supernatural is happening beneath the snow, you know, bulbs that are underneath the ground. And I mean, something, you know, life will eventually spring forth because winter has happened. And boy, if we can maybe even reframe the story that we tell ourselves and not overstate what's happening as if it's going to last forever, I think we might be able to navigate our winter seasons with a little more faith and perspective.
I would love to do that. Yeah, okay. Let's weather the winter season together. I love it.
Let's weather the winter season together. I love it, love it. Well, Nicole, you are always such a profound and powerful guest. We love and appreciate you, and we wish you the most merriest of Christmases ever. Thank you, honey.
And to you and to all of our listeners, a very, very peaceful and blessed you who are highly favored. God is with you.
Amen. Wow. I pray you found some encouragement here today. We've got a lot of texts that came in and said, this is so good. I needed this today. And I'm so grateful we could show up to encourage you. God is with you. Emmanuel. We'll meet you back here tomorrow, next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.